Firmly setting your minds. So that when the time comes, you can share it with others, and they can share in this moment. In this moment, they realize, wait a minute. This is way more than we thought. This is something completely different. God is doing something new. Now, the traditional transfiguration sermon tends to focus on the appearance of Moses and Elijah. And it focuses on them in one of two ways. It focuses on the idea that Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets, the two primary ways that God has communicated to his people through history. First in the expression of the law, and then in the words of the prophets who keep calling the people back to the law when they fall short and when they rebel. So there was this look that all that has gone before is now pointing to the person of Jesus. The other side of it, what we might call the apocalyptic side of it, the forward-looking side of it, is that when Elijah appears at the time of Jesus' walking around, the expectation was that Elijah would come and that would be the beginning of God reestablishing Israel as it should be, of the great redemptive work of God. And they even expected that Moses might come. Moses had promised that other prophet like him. But one of the things the Old Testament tells us is that nobody knows where Moses' grave was. It says he died, but nobody knows where his grave was. And so there was some wondering, maybe Moses is going to come back too. And so Moses and Elijah don't just look backwards to the law and the prophet as the way God has communicated. They also look forward to God completing his work, the culmination of God's saving work among his people. And so at all points, Jesus as the linchpin of God's work through history, of that whole arc of God's work in history. Here's the problem with that. Jesus was not transfigured in order to enlighten the disciples' theology, nor to enlighten our theology. I like my theology all fit together, you know. I like to put the puzzle together and have the pieces all fit, right? That's just the way my brain works. But the purpose of the Transfiguration isn't to make all that storyline work. The real purpose of the Transfiguration is that the disciples' hearts would be changed, that they would become different, that they would be changed, that they would come to a new understanding, not just an intellectual understanding, but a new grasp that God is doing something new and different here in the person of Jesus. They needed to see something personal. They needed to see something that would break apart all of their expectations and assumptions. Because without that, what tends to happen, and what I suspect was happening with the disciples, was that they just saw Jesus as an especially good prophet or an especially good teacher and preacher, but not as the unique, divine, appointed Son of God who would deliver the people from their sins. They didn't really see him as the Messiah yet. They needed to realize that something completely different was happening. So they were given this opportunity to see the transfigured Jesus, glowing white. I suspect there was a lot more to it than that, but the disciples were just lost for words to express more of what was happening. And the question I wonder about that is, how do we then recapture some of that experience? How do we allow that to change us in the way that it changed Peter and James and John? And I want to make a suggestion to you of a particular way of reading the scripture. And I'm serious about this. I suggest that you try this at home. Take your bulletin home or remember what the passage was, whatever, and sit down and read it over again. And then pray that God would teach you something about what happened that day. And then here's the different exercise. Place yourself in the story. I don't really care where. Make yourself maybe one of the other disciples who saw Jesus going off with Peter, James, and John, but what's going on up there? I want to see. And followed along behind. And is hiding behind a bush in the corner. And he sees suddenly Jesus transfigured in glowing white. And he sees Moses and Elijah. Don't know how they know it was Moses and Elijah, but they did. They do. And how do you feel? What emotions does that experience bring up for you? How do you imagine you would have been? Would you have been frozen behind your little bush? Or would you have jumped up and said, hey, what's going on? Or maybe it would be better for you to see yourself as Peter or James or John. Would you have jumped up and said, hey, let's build three booths. Let me get to work. Or would you have had a different response? What might that experience have been like for you? And let that emotion pour over you. Experience that emotion. Embrace that emotion. Feel that. And then pray that God would show you some new glimpse of who this Jesus is and who he can be in your life. You see, one of the great struggles for us, I think, as contemporary Christians, is to move Jesus from being a nice idea who encourages us, loves us, forgives us, welcomes us, and does those wonderful things, to actually transforming our hearts by his complete otherness. As the Son of God, as the transfigured one, as the beloved, like the voice said, this is my Son, the beloved. Listen to him. He has important things to tell you. Listen to him. How do we get our hearts transformed in such a way that we listen to him in a new and different way? So I want to commend one little way of trying to see what it might have been like for Peter and James and John, or what it might be like for us in our own lives, to not just hear about Jesus' transfiguration and how that ties together the story arc of the scriptures and the story of God's work of salvation through history. To get past that, to allow ourselves to be transformed, to allow ourselves to be changed by seeing a glimpse of who Jesus is by pulling